Thank you very much, Timmons. Appreciate the intro. And I am a critic, and I just want to say there's a great production of King Lear going on this week. If you can get out to the Cary Blast Furnace, and it'll be the most amazing stage or set or environment you will ever see a play in. Wear a jacket. Questions? Yeah, you can contact Quantum. Yeah, but this is one you want to see. It's probably about as Pittsburgh of a setting as you'll see Shakespeare in. Also tonight, thank you very much, Joan, in your continued support of this fantastic ongoing event. And Christopher, and thank you very much for the stage directions. And Christopher, I really want to congratulate you. And you know, Christopher's for those of you who don't know him, quite a Renaissance man. He's a not only a writer and a poet, but he runs a bookstore, he writes reviews, and he runs around the city spell checking street signs. So, I mean, this man is absolutely phenomenal. Thank you all for showing up tonight. I want to read a couple poems here. First one I'm going to read is a new poem, and that's kind of funny because I was watching this Eagles concert on Access TV, and they said, oh, this is a new song, which, of course, the 30,000 people in the audience knew. But no one ever knows at a poetry reading if it's a new poem that someone's reading. So anyway, the title of this is a word that I don't like the pronunciation of. It's called quietus, but I'm going to call it quietus. When he fell, you were asleep in your room. You found him in the morning, his arm frozen overhead, like someone reaching for a piece of fruit. The EMS kid said it must have been quick, but you resented his look of compassion the way artists tear up a sketch when their subject has no soul. The kid had slipped you a piece of paper, which you forgot about until cleaning out a drawer the next spring. Unfolding it, you see numbers and the word Jim scrawled with a failing pen. You stay up later and later now. Something terrible happens to you every morning in the apricot light of dawn. There are still so many drawers to be emptied. This is called Wingless. When babies fell out of the trees, you tried to catch them, their cries burning in the grass like the tails of comets. As they sank into the earth, still you tried to nurse them, their mouths gaping like angels betrayed by the succulent gravity of heaven. Another new poem, but of course you know that. Photo of Jeff back then. I'm going to slide over this way. This side of the room doesn't get as much attention because of this strange wall that divides this, so I want to give you guys some love over there. Photo of Jeff back then. There must be something divine in this, like Copernicus trying to make sense of the planets. All the spinning, the twisting, leashes riding up his crotch, this huge guy in a beret and biker jacket before coffee on a windy street in Baltimore just after dawn. Everyone tangled, the dogs lusting in opposite directions, the man dancing like a drunk marionette trapped in its strings. It's absolutely good. I'm not asking for money here. No money. Just a little applause is good. They call that a way home, or it'll be much more, it'll make much more sense in the way home. This is an older poem that's been updated. So I guess we call this the revised version. This is called Laundry. It's basically been laundered. The scent found him in his room above the garden of the hotel in this city of starving cows, fuming taxis, and ochre dust, its odor sinking like the prayer sung across the river at dawn, a whiff of her lingering deep in the collar. When the porter came, he kept the sweater, like he was cheating on the cows and the dust on the city choking him. He closed the door and lay back, trying to breathe through the distance, like a man inhaling music. This is an older poem retitled. Yeah, you can do that. No one will know. I won't tell you the old title. You'll have to go back like four Hemingways ago. So this is called Atlantis. If you said to me, we only have one night left on Earth, what should we do? I would say, let me read to you from the journals of Eugene Delacroix. Let me take you to the empty beach by the swing set in Syosconset and listen to the rusty silence. And then let's drink cheap wine like kids right out of the bottle, watching the gulls dive over the surf until dawn arrives from Spain across the sea. I would put you on the handlebars of my old red bicycle and pedal you down the sandy road to the bakery, where we could sit next to the screen door by the ovens, inhaling the ecstasy like good souls on their first day in heaven. And if we have any time left, let's lay back on the pink sand and tell each other stories until the waves come and crush us into the sky. Another new poem, and thank you to my friends at the workshop for their help with this. Although they said throw it away, but that really wasn't much help. No. No, they didn't say that. This is called Hollow Body. Hollow Body. It's one word, Hollow Body. She is much harder to lift now, like a cello filled with water. She still plays against your knees and watches the men who park motorcycles on your lawn. You draw on the walls, telling everyone their dreams, but they're really just costumes and wigs for the stains that appear like ghosts. They frighten you. When you lived in France as a little girl, you held paper against everything in the world and rubbed with chalk like a cat in a strange room. There is something about the trees in Provence that still disturbs you, the limbs ending in fists like frozen trumpet blasts aimed at God. It starts to rain about 3 a.m. The bikes make shadows that look like mangled bodies. You walk outside, barefoot, toward a large case that someone has left on the wet grass. There is something shut inside that you gather up and hold like a soggy, limp doll. And the thing that people love to hear most at any poetry reading, this is my last poem. Let's say it together. All right, it's an oldie but goodie. I bring it out for birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. It's called White Tigers. You can't see a white tiger even when it's sleeping in the bush before you. But in the morning, you can hear it on top of the mountain. Its roar stuck in the trees, the way bird flight shatters the sky. The white tiger is always too fast for us. It leaves its tracks like a song sung upon the ground. We are always in its wake, chasing it across some cliff, over some shore, behind some moon. It nurses its young like we nurse our pain. It sees in the dark like we see the past. When we say to each other, I will always be there for you, are we not really saying something else? When we say, I will wait for you forever, are we really not describing a white tiger, patient as the most gracious cancer, growling softly inside us? Thank you. Thanks, man.